Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nerd Stash Show. We are on episode number 90, and I am your host for this week, Riley Logue. I am also joined this week by Taylor. Taylor, how are you this week?
I am doing fantastic. It has been a few weeks since I've been on, since I've taken, I guess, a backseat role on air here, and you guys have done a phenomenal job. As the main host, and I can't wait to talk about today's news episode, because I'll tell you what, Riley, Michael is at a convention right now.
Yeah.
He picked a bad week to have something going on and have you replace him, and I'm very excited to talk about this, because this is a loaded story right here.
Oh, yeah. It's probably the biggest story in the gaming industry for the past 20 years or so.
Well, since probably Xbox bought Bethesda.
Yeah, well, I consider it even bigger than that, but we'll get into all that. So we've been hinting at it. Our stories for the week, we don't have any stories to talk about except for the big elephant in the room, that Xbox/Microsoft bought Activision/Blizzard. There's a lot to talk about, a lot of different angles to talk about this thing. So, Taylor, why don't you take it away?
All right. So, again, Riley just mentioned it. I just want to mention it again in case somebody happened upon this podcast immediately after, like, waking up from a coma or something. And you have no idea what happened in the gaming industry the past week. Xbox has reached a deal to acquire Activision Blizzard. There are so many different layers to this thing, so we're going to take it layer by layer here, starting with the basics. We'll also have timestamps for each section that we stop and talk about, so you can skip around if you want. So let's start with the basics. On January 18th, Xbox announced a deal to acquire Activision Blizzard. As reported by the Wall Street Journal and Bloomberg, Xbox is paying nearly $70 billion. With a B. Very important distinction there. For the troubled publisher behind games such as Call of Duty, Overwatch, Diablo, etc. Riley, I don't want to get your full thoughts on this just yet, but I do have one question for you. When did you find out about this deal, and where were you? Personally, like, I've seen some people online say, like, that they thought this was like a hoax. And there were some hilarious stories about it. So I was just curious to see what yours.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I think the first time I saw the news story, I woke up from bed and saw it on my phone. And it was early, early in the morning. And I think my brain just, like, couldn't comprehend the headline. And so, like, I just turned over and went back to sleep, kind of thinking, like, there's no way that I just read what I read, right? Like, there's got to be something in the article itself that, you know,
is
it
a Game Pass deal or something a lot smaller?
Yeah, but no. Turns out that that's what's happening. They're buying Activision, I would have thought that Activision Blizzard would have been too big of a publisher to be bought out by anybody. But now that they're gone, it's a little bit scary, because it's like, well, Microsoft's just proved that they have as much money to spend on anything that they want as they can. So, like, what's next? Like, is Microsoft just going to own everything? I don't really like that future, but I don't know. It's a little scary, I'll say.
What's really striking to me is it does seem like this was something that was going to be done. Period. It's not like, oh, just Xbox. They came with this crazy deal that, like, it seemed like Activision Blizzard was looking to sell, essentially. Yeah. And EA, I think, was reportedly in the mix. And when you look at the choices, though, I do think everybody can agree, EA or Xbox, it could have been a lot worse. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So, and who knows what would have happened if EA managed to acquire Activision Blizzard. What would that have meant for Battlefield and Call of Duty? just everything going on at EA as well. So, you want to just get into the next section?
Yeah, yeah.
So, what does this mean for Activision Blizzard? I know everybody wants to talk about the games, but I felt like it would be a mistake if we didn't address the elephant in the room here. And that elephant is the many reported issues at Activision Blizzard, both in the past and present. At this point, I think everybody is aware of the serious allegations against Activision Blizzard and what everyone thinks of CEO Bobby Kotick. This deal opens up a ton of questions about the internal problems at Activision Blizzard, Kotick's involvement going forward, and what Xbox plans to do to improve the working environment for everyone at the publisher. First and foremost, it has to be said that both Microsoft and Activision Blizzard will continue to work independently until the deal officially closes, which is expected to happen in mid to late 2023, I believe. And there's also a lot of talk about like whether or not this deal even gets approved, which
yeah,
I'm sure we'll get into.
That I've been wondering that myself. I am sort of skeptical that the government will do anything to prevent them buying Activision. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
And then just what this means for like what does Sony have to do? Because it feels like they have to do something, but. See, this is really getting off track here. Let's get back on track. So, in regards to how the management structure will work when the deal closes, Phil Spencer has said via an Xbox Wire post that the publisher will be reporting to him as CEO. Until that point, it appears that Activision Blizzard will be keeping Bobby Kotick around. According to Bloomberg's report, quote, Activision CEO Bobby Kotick, 58, will continue to serve in that role only until the deal closes, a person familiar with the deal said. Once the transaction is completed, the Activision Blizzard business will report to Phil Spencer, who, as part of the new deal, was promoted to CEO of Microsoft Gaming, end quote. So based on what we know so far about this, it appears that Kotick will be ousted from his role once the deal goes through. And it's still a little uncertain as well. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Kotick's still campaigning, like, he wants to stick around.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
yeah. I'm sure some people are thrilled about this news, that he'll be ousted, and some still feel like it's not enough. After all, Kotick will pretty much be getting a quiet exit after a year or so, and a hefty final payday. According to Reuters, Kotick is going to walk away with nearly $400 million as part of this deal. Moreover, in a recent interview with GamesBeat, Kotick was asked if the sexual harassment investigation played a factor in the deal since these allegations seem to affect the stock price. Here's what Kotick had to say. Quote, I think what affected the stock price more than that is pushing out Overwatch and Diablo. And then I think people started to see that this year's Call of Duty wasn't performing as well. Kotick continued, quote, so I think certainly the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing filing and the Wall Street Journal article contributed to that, but stocks go up and down for a variety of reasons. I think our view was that $95 a share, with all that cash, that's a really good deal for our shareholders. And so that was an easy and independent judgment. It's a great deal. End quote. We're not here to tell you, the listener, how to feel about this. We're just here to give you the facts. And after that, our personal thoughts on these stories. And I'm sure, Riley, we're going to be talking about that quote. Because I know yeah. I want to talk about that quote. That's just Bobby Kotick, though. Let's talk about the employees at Activision Blizzard and the need for change in the workplace culture there. Riley, you mind taking over from right here?
Yeah, so according to reports from Jason Schreier and responses from employees via social media, it appears that a lot of Activision Blizzard employees are fairly optimistic about potential management changes and pretty frustrated with how Kotick is getting a quiet exit. As with everything else, I'll link Schreier's tweet. We will link Schreier's tweet and a few employee responses articles that we came across. Xbox hasn't been very specific in how they plan to deal with issues at Activision Blizzard or how they plan to improve the workplace culture there. All we can really do is read off the vague comments from Phil Spencer via the Xbox Wire post about the announcement. Quote, "As a company, Microsoft is committed to our journey for including inclusion in every aspect of gaming, among both employees and players. We deeply value individual studio cultures. We also believe that creative success and autonomy go hand in hand with treating every person with dignity and respect. We hold all teams, all leaders to this commitment. We're looking forward to extending our culture of proactive inclusion to the great teams across Activision Blizzard." So, Taylor, that was a lot. I guess let's just get into it. What are your thoughts on all of this? There's a lot of angles.
I think it's important for us both to like point this out here. We are just gamers who talk in front of a microphone. That is like we are looking from the outside looking in. We are seeing these reports as they come in as well, and a lot's changing hour by hour, really, at the time of this recording. We'll talk about it later when we get to the games, but the most recent thing that I think happened was Phil Spencer recently talked about PlayStation and Call of Duty, sent out a tweet. So that's where we are right now at the time of the recording. Yeah. But when it comes to what does this mean for Activision Blizzard, from the outside looking in, it does seem a little promising to me, especially because of all the... We haven't been really talking about it too much, Riley. We've had a lot of special episodes, right? We've had the Clash of Stashes. We've had some most anticipated.
Yep.
And there's also been some stuff happening at Activision Blizzard while we've been doing those episodes. There's been strikes. There's been a lot of talk around the Bobby Kotick and specifically.
That's right.
This seems pretty positive in a way. It doesn't sit right with me, the quote from Bobby Kotick, that he's saying that Overwatch 2 and Diablo being pushed back is the reason, and the fact that Call of Duty did not sell as well, were the reasons why that the stock went down. That to me just seems like such a cop-out.
Yeah, you know that isn't true.
To talk about that. Especially that this year's Call of Duty wasn't performing as well. Perhaps in the UK, I believe it wasn't performing as well, but I believe in the US it was doing just fine. Like, it's still a top-selling game.
Yeah.
And this is not the first time I think Activision Blizzard has done this with the Call of Duty. Before, when they're making great numbers, and they're like, well, they're great numbers. We're numbered one, the number five best-selling game of the year, but it's just still not enough for us.
Yeah.
So... that quote really doesn't sit right with me, but other than that, I'm way more optimistic about the future there. It makes a lot more sense, too, with Phil Spencer's comments, I believe, a few weeks ago, where he was basically like, hey, here at Xbox, we've had issues in the past. And while, yes, we believe Activision Blizzard needs to get their stuff together, we're not going to dogpile on them. So those comments make a lot more sense now as well. Riley, what about you?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about just everything related to this story. I think where I'll start is I have a kind of a pit in my stomach with this story. First, I admire, actually, from a news perspective, that this didn't get leaked at all and that this was a surprise to just about everybody.
Yeah, I didn't mention this either. So when I was, you were telling me like, oh, you just woke up, you looked at your phone. That's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah,
I looked up about, I want to say about 8:39. Just look at my phone. And it's like they're in talks to buy what? And then I just walk out of my room. I grab me something to drink. I sit down on the couch. I pull up my phone again. I update it, and it goes like, nope, it's done. It is official. It's happening. I'm just dumbfounded. Like, wait, what the fuck happened here? And over the course of like 3 hours, just got hit with a well of questions, knowledge. Just, I think the one thing we're going to do throughout this episode, Riley, and I'm sure that's kind of what you're getting to. I didn't mean to interrupt you here.
Oh, no worries.
I feel like we're going to have these moments where we're so like, oh man, this is really good. This is very promising. I wonder what they're going to do here. Maybe this could help a lot of the games over there at Activision Blizzard as well, away from this section here when it comes to workplace culture and everything. But then, like you mentioned earlier, what does this mean for the industry as a whole?
Yeah.
And so that's where I think a lot of the, like you said, you had a pit in your stomach, and that's kind of how I feel about it too. It's like, well, it feels like there needs to be a balance now in some kind of, if this goes through, does Sony have to buy some major publisher to make up for it and we're back almost even here? Or what can happen, essentially, is what I'm saying. But yeah, this is a topic for another section. Continue, Riley.
I think the pit in my stomach comes from multiple different places. The first is that I think that this, for our industry, for the games industry, it's a highly anti-consumer move. Now, you could say that, you know, anybody, any studio buying any other studio and making those games potentially exclusive to one platform is anti-consumerist. And I sort of agree with that, but this is on a whole nother level. I mean, we thought when Microsoft bought Bethesda that that was crazy, and then they are buying one of the biggest publishers in the world. I mean, that's insane. And it's could very well be the case that all of those games, all of those IP become locked to Microsoft. And I'm sure a lot of them, if not most of them or all of them, will come to Game Pass, which we'll talk about that, I'm sure, when we get to the games as well. But I still think that in terms of just being a gamer, this is not that great, because it further pushes, like, okay, you either need two consoles, or you need a console and a PC at least to play, you know, everything that you might want to play. So that's the first perspective. I think the second perspective is what happens to the lawsuit that was going on from the, what was it, the California Department of Fair Labor Practices?
With sexual harassment allegations, workplace discrimination allegations, yeah, and all sorts of other stuff has come out.
Yeah, so what happens to that lawsuit if Microsoft is completely buying up the company? Like, does that get buried? Does that go away? And on top of that, you kind of have to wonder if that was the whole reason that they decided to sell, was because of all of the sexual harassment and anti-unionization efforts that the company is putting in place, where the employees want to be unionized, or a good majority of employees want to be unionized and all that.
And let's be honest here, a completely tarnished reputation as a publisher.
Oh, yeah.
There is, as it stands right now with the current leadership, there is no way that they can gain any kind of trust back from people.
Yeah. And I think they're trying to spin the narrative. I think that was the biggest reason to sell, is because the board looked at their, like, as you put, you know, their tarnished reputation, and thought maybe there's no way to come back from that, or it would take more work than they wanted to put in, Bobby Kotick included, and all of the board members and all of the senior management there. And they thought it would be a better idea to sell to Microsoft, spin the narrative of the lawsuit, you know, and all of that, because now in the media, when you talk about Activision Blizzard, you're no longer talking just about that. Now you're talking about a completely different story.
Yeah. Keep in mind, too, there's also a year between, like, when this deal's going to officially close.
Yeah.
So we have no idea. We're not lawyers either. So
that's true.
We have no idea how this thing is going to go with the lawsuit, or what's going to come of it, you know, any kind of investigation. So
yeah,
maybe things do get somewhat resolved in that investigation by that time. Maybe it doesn't, but it's a good point to bring up.
Yeah. Aside from all that, it's interesting to think about. I wanted to mention as well, we were also talking earlier about, we're not sure if this is actually going to go through. I tend to think that the government will not even pay attention to this this acquisition, merger, whatever you want to call it.
There has been talks of like, oh, it could be scrutinized if Xbox is planning to go through with a few things. Like, I believe Call of Duty exclusivity, which it appears that Xbox has no plans for that. We'll get to Phil Spencer's tweet here in a few minutes. But as it stands right now, it seems like it's going to be an interesting topic to see if it... I don't think it's going to get revoked. I really don't.
Yeah.
But I would not surprise me if it was just one day like, oh, nope, this can't happen. It'd be too much power to Xbox. Because it... Look, I'm an Xbox fan. It's the console I own, and I really enjoy playing on it. But at the same time, I look at this, and I'm like, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. Now, I'm going to kind of throw you a curveball, Taylor. This is not in our show notes, but you kept alluding to the fact that you maybe felt that, or you think that Sony might feel that they would have to respond. Do you think that anything that they... Do you think that there's a publisher that they could buy that would be an adequate response? And if so, who do you think that would be? Just in your craziest idea. Just your craziest idea, I guess.
Well, the biggest studios out there, in my opinion right now, that are not acquired by either Xbox or Sony.
Yeah.
You have Konami, which I feel like they're towards
the lower end.
You have EA, obviously. You have Ubisoft, who, not to get into their reported issues, but oof.
Yeah.
That's a story for another episode.
Similar situation.
But I mean, there's not too many more out there, unless I'm completely blanking on one. There's a good chance that I am. Would you call maybe WB Games?
Yeah. Sure. I guess not really, but...
Because there was reports that they were trying to sell as well months ago with the Discovery merger.
Yeah. I am hard-pressed to think of another developer publisher that Sony could buy that would, you know, have a splash like this and, you know, be as big of a news story and as big of a deal. So I'm going to say that I don't really think that there is a way that they could respond, really. You know, they could, I mean, you know, Ubisoft and EA are similar in size, I guess, but I guess from the game's perspective is kind of where I'm getting at with that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, though, Riley. There was a report, I believe you guys talked about it last week, about whatever PlayStation's Game Pass would be.
Yeah.
And that they're... correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was Bloomberg who reported it, right? Bloomberg also said that don't expect day one games to be on that service.
Yeah.
That's
correct.
That might change.
Yeah, well...
That might change. That might be the bare minimum there. Because I don't think we'll get in. Let's just go ahead and do that. All right. We're kind of beating around the bush here. What are your thoughts on Xbox possibly having the likes of Call of Duty, Overwatch, World of Warcraft, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, Crash Bandicoot, what is it? Candy Crush, I believe, as well. Diablo. Oh my god. Another thing, too, Call of Duty, or not Call of Duty, Xbox, other than Master Chief and the Gears characters, I feel like they've kind of struggled a little bit when it comes to mascots.
Yeah.
Like, and Nintendo, they obviously have the classics, right? They got Mario, the Lynx, the Donkey Kongs, even Yoshis and Wario's. Sony has God of War, they have Kratos, they have Nathan Drake. You get Ellie from The Last of Us. You have all these characters. Xbox has done a fantastic job of getting the likes of Doom Guy, Crash Bandicoot, Captain Price, Tracer. You go on and on here.
Yeah.
And would now potentially be under the Xbox banner. So what are your thoughts on Xbox possibly having the likes of those? Me personally, I don't think a lot of these games are going to be exclusive. Now, keep in mind a very important thing when judging my opinion on this. I think way back when with the Bethesda deal, I said, I can't imagine that they have a lot of these games be exclusive. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what I said. So take what I say here with a hefty grain of salt. But I can't imagine that. We've already seen a tweet from Phil Spencer. I'm going to go ahead and read it out before I throw it over to you. Sure. Phil Spencer said earlier today at this time of recording, quote, had good calls this week with the leaders at Sony. I confirmed our intent to honor all existing agreements upon acquisition of Activision Blizzard and our desire to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation. Sony is an important part of our industry and we value our relationship, end quote. So, by all appearances, it seems that Call of Duty will remain on PlayStation, which kind of seems like a no-shit Sherlock thing when you see how much it sells for on that platform. And also, it seems like pre-existing deals and the pre-existing games are sticking around on that platform as well. Now, all that in mind, Riley, what are your thoughts on all those games being owned by Xbox?
So I want to address this tweet first, because this sounds like the exact same thing that Phil Spencer said when they bought Bethesda.
I like Phil Spencer. Phil Spencer, to me, he saved Xbox. He really did. You guys talked about that last week, and Riley, I think it was you who brought it up specifically, and I thought you made a fantastic point.
Thank you.
Like, this guy kind of came in, and he righted the ship when they were definitely sinking, and I feel like he's done so much good.
Yeah.
But damn, this guy speaks like a fucking robot, don't he?
Yeah.
He really does, and it's kind of aggravating sometimes.
The thing that I want to highlight from that tweet is, quote, I confirmed our intent to honor all existing agreements upon acquisition of Activision Blizzard and our desire to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation. That sounds to me like they're going to honor all of the contractually obligated things that they have to do, meaning the next Call of Duty or maybe the next two Call of Duties.
A deal right now with Call of Duty and PlayStation where PlayStation is getting some exclusive content. So it would be funny because I don't think anybody knows when that deal ends. Xbox can own Call of Duty and PlayStation would still get exclusive stuff first.
That is weird to think about.
It would be really hilarious, to be honest with you, but carry on.
But yeah, it sounds to me like Phil Spencer is just going to honor all of Activision Blizzard's previous contractually obligated things that they were going to do. And then after that, nothing can make me believe that they will not make all of this exclusive, because just like you...
Even Call of Duty, because I don't believe that for a second.
I do, and the reason... Because just like you, I thought when they bought Bethesda, there's no way they're going to make Skyrim and Fallout and you know, all those games exclusive to Microsoft. And I think that it's been confirmed by Phil Spencer himself, the man himself, that, yeah, they're probably going to be exclusive. So I do not believe that eventually Call of Duty will not be exclusive, because you think of it this way, Taylor. You think of the if you think of the entire games industry, Microsoft basically has a control now on the PC market and the Xbox market. So I don't really think that they care that much about keeping the PlayStation market. I could be wrong about that.
You're dead wrong about that, because I just sent you an article here.
You did.
Best selling games for PlayStation. You know what's at the top of that list, Riley?
Call of Duty.
It's a game that people pretty much said, hey, this Call of Duty ain't all that great. It's a game that Bobby Kotick said is not performing too well and put in his, in my opinion, cop-out excuse. and that is Call of Duty Vanguard. This game sells. This franchise sells. As much as we talk about every year there being a Call of Duty, it sells. And money talks. And that's the reason for me personally, I can never see this franchise going exclusive to just PC and Xbox. That being said, I can see them going another way. And what I mean by that is I think Call of Duty might be going away from annual releases, which would,
that would be nice.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What do you think about the possibility of that, by the way?
So first, I just wanted to say, yes, Call of Duty makes a lot of money, but what incentive does the money that Call of Duty makes give to Microsoft, who just proved that money means nothing to them? Right?
Being the quote-unquote good guy, because that's what they would be. They would be doing it out of the kindness of their own hearts and honoring agreements and... Look, we can play nice in times where, you know, some other places might not have, and Xbox used to not do that as well. So I think it's just a perfect opportunity for them to just flaunt that, hey, we have this franchise. We know how much it sells. We lose money by not putting it on your platform, but we will look like the good guys because we're going to continue to put it on your platform. But that's just the way I see it.
But what you were saying about, you know, hopefully Call of Duty goes away from annual releases, that would be great. I think that would probably reinvigorate the series, maybe. But I don't think anything that they could do for Call of Duty would make me personally interested to go back to play Call of Duty ever again. I mean, it would take a lot. So I don't know, but...
Well, you look at... I know you're not a big Call of Duty player, right? So that's why I don't really spend too much time here. But you look at what the past few games have been, which have been, I don't want to say copy-paste, but you can tell they're trying to align things for Warzone. So you have...
Yeah.
Oh, we have operators now who have these lines, these... It's not as cheesy as Battlefield 2042, mind you. They're operator voice lines. But it feels very arcadey. So that's where I'm coming from with, like, hey, you get away with annual releases, maybe you get more time to be unique and getting away from the template making games like Black Ops Cold War and Vanguard and Modern Warfare 2019. I know Modern Warfare 2019 started this whole trend, but
yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, these studios can finally start to do their own thing, and maybe Warzone integration can get even better because you're not just trying to shove it all in a yearly release.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, I don't have much more to say about Call of Duty, but the thing that I've been thinking about a lot is Game Pass and the idea that all of Activision Blizzard's games are going to be probably on Game Pass when this goes through is absolutely insane to think about.
I'm pretty sure. Let me pull up this Wire post, Riley.
Yeah.
Because it was mentioned here.
While you do that, I want to mention that, you know, people who have been listening to this show know that I'm more of a PlayStation gamer, or have been traditionally, and that I had not subscribe to Game Pass. Well, when this news came out, I sort of questioned if buying the PS5 was the wrong move, and maybe I should have bought an Xbox Series X or a gaming PC. And then I signed up for Game Pass finally. So we'll get into that a little bit more in the What Are We Playing segment at the end of the show. But it's finally tipped the scale for me. I have subscribed at least for a month to Game Pass. So
here's the quote from Xbox Wire. Quote, upon close, we will offer as many Activision Blizzard games as we can within Xbox Game Pass and PC Game Pass, both new titles and games from Activision Blizzard's incredible catalog. End quote. So that is also interesting to me because you go, okay, Overwatch 2, is that going to be on Game Pass? Is the next Call of Duty... Or Call of Duty's new Call of Duty is just going to be on Game Pass. What about Diablo 4? It opens that mind up to, like, oh, this is great if you're an Xbox gamer, especially. But that's absolutely the unfortunate part, though. This is where the exclusivity, it goes from being like, oh, it's fun, to then you think about, like, people on PlayStation are like, this fucking sucks. Because it should be something yeah. everybody can, you know, really look at and be like, oh, this is a great move for me. It's going to save some money. There we go. But instead, it does feel a little bit like, ah, now we're PlayStation owners are kind of getting screwed out of this deal.
Yeah, a little bit. Not a little bit, a lot. So
who knows? Maybe maybe the PlayStation Game Pass can work out a deal as well with Xbox.
That would
be nice.
I
don't know if that's something that could happen theoretically. Phil Spencer did say they care about the relationship. So that'd be one hell of a way to show it.
It sure would be. But yeah, just like I have Game Pass now, and just the thought of all those games coming to Game Pass is kind of crazy to me.
Then you look at stuff like, I just closed out of The Wire post and I want to go back to it. Unfortunately, but they name off all these studios. Okay, so they talk about Beenox, Demonware, Digital Legends, High Moon Studios, Infinity Ward, King, Raven Software, Toys for Bob. All these studios would be under Xbox, which also would mean, hey, these studios can do something else other than Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, Riley. All of them been working on that one damn game franchise. So
yeah.
It would be amazing to see these studios get to do other things. And potentially another studio from Microsoft Games, they might get to work on a Call of Duty or get to help on another known franchise from Activision Blizzard. And I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. That's something I hadn't even considered.
I would love to see Raven Software come back and make a game like I talk about it sometimes on the show. It was a fantastic single-player game. Singularity.
Mm.
I thought it was a great single-player game. It included some time travel. It was pretty cool. Something like that. That'd be awesome to see. But I think that opens the door for that. And that's where I'm like, yeah, it's great. But yet again, to go back to the, this is bad potentially for the industry. What does this mean for PlayStation? Is it going to be terrible for PlayStation to feel like they have to acquire another big studio? And does that create a power vacuum? What does that like? Can another studio kind of like rise up to that? Maybe? I don't know. Like,
it's crazy because this news and the fact that Microsoft owns Bethesda and so many other developers now, they sort of make PlayStation Studios look like a small indie team. Like, if that's sort of the niche end of the market where you go to play third-person action games and then everything else is on Game Pass.
PlayStation Studios, a small indie team. They kind of feel like an indie film developer, you think about it.
Yeah, it's like Sony is like A24 and Microsoft is like Disney. That's kind of how I think about it in my brain, I guess.
Sony acquires Nintendo, big brain move.
Wow. That would be something.
That would break the internet completely. I don't think we'd ever be able to come back.
Nope, that's it. Gaming's over.
We need to find, you know, we gotta find a new hobby.
Every video game is on Game Pass, so what's there to talk about? And in fact, speaking to that, I think it would be much more likely that Microsoft would buy Nintendo than Sony would buy Nintendo.
I'll tell you what, that would get revoked.
But I think this news like actually broke the internet, and I think the reason that we're sort of having such a hard time kind of working through all of our different emotions with this thing is like it was a story that wasn't a story until a complete bombshell was dropped on the industry. Like, we didn't have time to sort of warm up to the idea and talk about it for a couple episodes on this show to kind of work through our feelings and all that. It's just like, nope, boom, here, goodbye internet.
Just dropping it in there and just leaving, like, here you go, y'all have fun with this, figure it yeah. out. Is there anything about this that we didn't talk about that you want to address now?
I think we kind of covered it. I think everything that I wanted to talk about, everything that I thought about, all my thoughts, all my feelings, everything. So I'm feeling good. How are you feeling, Taylor?
I'm feeling pretty good too. I feel like we covered pretty much everything that we know about this so far. This is a very multifaceted story that's to continue to evolve over the coming weeks. I don't think we're going to have a main topic like this next week where we're still talking for an hour about it. But it would not surprise me if this story somehow popped back up into our stories of the week. Somehow, over the next month.
Oh, definitely.
All right. You ready to move on?
Let's do it. Let's move on.
Let's talk about a segment that we brought back last week by popular demand. That popular demand being Riley, which I think is a fantastic suggestion. Let's talk about what we're playing.
Yeah.
Riley, what's your plan?
Yeah, I suggested to bring back this segment because I just miss talking about what I'm playing, basically. So it's somewhat selfish, I must admit.
So self-indulgent, Riley. How dare you talk about great games that you're playing that other people might also be playing and enjoy.
I know, I'm the worst. So, as I mentioned earlier, I finally subscribed to Game Pass. I decided to check it out for a month. And so I've just been playing some things on that. The main one that I tried out was the new game Nobody Saves the World from Drinkbox. It's basically like a hack and slash kind of dungeon crawler. It sort of reminds me of Hades in its gameplay, except it's not really a roguelike. It's more just a straight up, you know, sort of, well, at least where I am now, I haven't gotten very far in it. It's sort of just linear dungeons. I think they're semi, randomly generated, but not completely. But the main thing with the game is basically your character is nobody. That's the character's name, and they're basically just like an amorphous blob with a face. And then as you go through the game, you have these quests that you do, and the quest might be like punch 5 monsters or something like that. And then once you get those quests, you get XP, and if you get enough XP and level up, the main thing that you can do is turn into different animals, or different, not even just animals, but different classes, I guess, of people as well. The first thing you unlock is a rat, so that you're running through the first dungeon, basically the tutorial dungeon, as a rat, and the rat's main ability is basically chewing. Gnawing, it's called, on the enemy, which, you know, does poison damage and things like that. And then it's interesting because the progression tree has different branches. So, like, from nobody, the first thing that you unlock is the rat, but then you also unlock the knight and the ranger, and from the knight and the ranger there's 2 sub branches from those. So like if you use the knight or the ranger, you can unlock those sort of like the ones that branch off of that. So that's a pretty fun game. I actually was playing it on my phone through streaming, which was an interesting experience. It wasn't the greatest quality streaming, but I don't have the greatest internet either, so that was interesting. And then the other thing that I played just for a couple hours last night is I downloaded the original Fallout from Game Pass, and I played some of the original Fallout, which I remember playing when I was a kid, actually. I think my grandma had a disc laying around for my uncle back when he was like into gaming and things, and you know, we played that game quite a bit. So it's been fun just like kind of replaying that nostalgic. It's nostalgic for me, but it's interesting too, because when I was a kid, like we didn't get far at all. Like we didn't get past the first dungeon because we didn't really understand what we were doing. And it's fun to go back now as a more competent gamer and just like realize that like I was a stupid, dumb kid playing that game. But those are the 2 things that I've been playing. What about you, Taylor?
Well, I'll tell you what, Riley. Through you talking about Nobody Saves the World while you're talking about this game, I was like, man, that sounds very interesting. You know what I'm going to do? I just downloaded Nobody Saves the World, and I'm probably going to play it when we're done with this episode. So, you got me to download the game, so it was worth getting this segment back. As for I'm playing, I downloaded FIFA 21. I had a friend who wanted to play Volta on there. Apparently it was multiplayer. That's pretty fun. It's fun to play these sports games with other people that also aren't Madden, because Madden is a complete and utter piece of hot garbage, especially at the moment. There's a lot of issues there. And on top of that, speaking of another EA game, I've been playing Mass Effect Legendary Edition. And the reason behind that is I have a friend who has heard me talk about how great these games are over and over. And when the Legendary Edition hit Game Pass, he told me, hey, I'm going to finally download it. And through him telling me, like, oh, dude, I'm really digging this game. Thanks for recommending it. It's awesome. I just decided to get back into it. playing Mass Effect 2, not Mass Effect 1, just because my Mass Effect 1 playthrough was so perfect for what I was going for. I started playing again, and I was like, I'm not going to be able to replicate that. There's going to be so much work for no reason. I'm just going to start on Mass Effect 2. I enjoy that game more anyways, and it's just, it's such a great franchise. Love getting back into it every time I play it. And hopefully, down the line, hopefully sometime soon, somebody somewhere announces that they're making a fucking TV show from it, because it's perfect.
That would be great.
Perfect for a TV show.
Yeah, you know, Mass Effect remains basically a big blind spot in my gaming, and I found last night that Mass Effect, I think the Mass Effect games are on Game Pass, are they not? Yeah, I don't know if the Legendary OGs Edition
and the
is.
Legendary Edition.
They both are. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I might, you know, check them out now. I don't have the greatest, you know, PC in the world, but I'm going to do some stress testing for sure.
That might be a game to do it with.
Yeah.
<as well. laughs> But let's move on. Let's go ahead and close up shop for the week.
Let's do it.
If you want to hear more from us, you want to share your opinions on the Xbox Activision Blizzard deal, you can join our Discord. A link for that is in the description. Just, you know, hit that info button, find where Discord is, and you can just click on that. You'll go right into our Discord. That's how you can also contact us directly. Love to chat about video games, movies, TV shows, whatever. I'm about to be watching Face Off as part of a retrospective for Nerds Talk Movies, so
if you've seen
Face Off recently for any reason at all, tell me your opinions on it. I might even get them onto the show. Our other podcast, Nerds Talk Movies, like I just said, our next episode is going to be on Face Off. It's a random retrospective. I just wanted to put something in there that was random. Tristan and I both, I think, adore this movie for what it is. Also, it's Nicolas Cage at his peak, other than movies like The Rock, essentially.
Yeah. I cannot wait to hear both of your opinions on this movie. I'm actually really looking forward to this episode. I'm going to watch the movie again and all that.
So. Well, we had plans. I gave Tristan three plans for February.
Yeah.
Because Uncharted was coming out and The Batman comes out in March.
Yeah.
So the first one was setting up for Uncharted, which included like us having a retrospective on the Tomb Raider movie in 2017 or 2018.
Yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. And also, right after Face Off, I wanted to do National Treasure.
Yeah.
Which is also Pete Nicholas Cage. We didn't go with that. We're going with the Batman option. So we're going to be doing the Dark Knight trilogy and a spoiler talk for Boba Fett. But still, I want more Nicolas Cage in our shows. If you can find a way, Riley, to get Nicolas Cage into this show somehow,
okay,
you know, pitch me the idea and I'll find a way to fit into a rundown.
Let me think about that.
We all need a little more Nicolas Cage in our life.
Absolutely.
Finally, check out thenerdstash.com for all sorts of news coverage in the world of gaming, movies, television, Nicolas Cage, and more. Along with this, the Nerd Stash has a lot of other content, like engaging reviews and entertaining opinion pieces. There are quite a few hot takes out there on thenerdstash.com that you might enjoy, or you might not enjoy. Who knows? Everybody's different. But I want to thank Riley for joining me this week. I want to thank anyone for listening in. We'll be back next week to talk about some gaming news. Well, I think I will, and so will Michael. Riley, you got a week off. So,
all right.
Michael and I will be back to talk about some gaming news. Won't be as newsworthy as this week's, though. But we'll see you next week.